Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Yeah, happy Saturday. I appreciate you joining us, and I wish I had a deeper voice just like that guy. I guess I could work on that. Maybe Jeremy, my engineer, could help me get that done, just deepen my voice. It sounds so good. I always did want a deeper voice. You'd think I'd have one, but I don't, unfortunately. Although some people say I have a voice for radio and a face for radio, but hey, whatever it takes. Today we're going to talk about the housing and interest rate markets. It's a big subject. There's so much going on in it currently, and it's really important that we talk about it. I have Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group, one of my teammates, joining us, and to help us kind of go through this, talk about it, and understand this market as it relates to, you know, you looking at homes, maybe selling your home, refinancing your home, what the interest rate market is. You know, what are we seeing in really for 2021? You know, it's funny. I have people. I had a guy the other day tell me that somebody had told him that the interest rates were going to stay down for the first 6 months and then they were going to spike. Well, I've not heard any expert say that's going to happen, and it's already not happening. It's already changing. So, you know, we do believe that rates are going to be, you know, they're going to stay very low based on what the Feds plan on doing. But, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what the Feds are doing. And that's all partly why we want to talk about this. So the housing and interest rate market in 2021 is going to be very interesting. Before we get into it, Ian, could you just give it a little overview of yourself?
Yes, I've been in the mortgage industry for a little while. I started in finance and with cars and everything, and decided that it was a time to get out of that car industry and get into something a little more professional and build my career.
Awesome. Yeah. And you've done a great job. He understands finance very well. And, you know, really what we do, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Really what we do, we're debt managers. That's really part of what we do. A mortgage is going to be the largest debt somebody has, for the most part. Most people, there are people with exceptions to that, but most people, that's the largest debt that they have. And with all the other debt that they have, it's amazing how we can maneuver and help people out with their debt, with, you know, maybe paying this off, putting in the mortgage, doing the cash out. But all of that matters, and we really do look at ourselves as a debt manager. So, and we think that's important because we want to help you really be at the very best financial position you can be at. That's the objective, and we really want to help on that. But let's get back to the market. You know, first, she's back. Janet Yellen is back. Is that her name? Did I get that right? I got that right. And she's back, and she is what they would consider more dovish. So she's going to be more accommodating than what we've, that at least that's the belief. And she's not actually back as a Fed member. She's back as the Treasury. She'll be signing all of our money, our paper money, not our coins, our paper money.
I wonder if she'll sign coins. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be hard. And I doubt she sits there. I think they just print it off anyway. But she will be signing all of our bills, and she's back, and she's going to be, she's very dovish, and because of that, she's going to be pushing mortgage, or pushing it to make it as accommodative as possible. What that tends to do is be bad on mortgages. So it's one of those things where that tends not to be good for mortgages because of inflation. So we have to watch that. Now the Feds are at zero. And so when you hear that, the Federal Reserve has interest rates at zero, what are they talking about when they say the Feds have the interest rate at zero?
I mean, that's just where they try to move the line. I mean, with the way we try to, I mean, that's just the Yeah. I mean, that's just basically where they're trying to just, they try to lower rates to get people to buy more. I mean, it's not mean you're going to get 0%. I mean, that's just unlogical. People got to make money no matter what business you're in. But it's just one of those things that I think a lot of the news stations took off with and misrepresented for customers.
I would definitely say they misunderstood, and given them the benefit of the doubt, they, what they reported is accurate. So what you have to understand is when the Fed set the federal rate at zero, they're setting the overnight rate member banks can borrow money from each other at overnight. Very, very, very short-term interest rate. When we're talking about a mortgage, we're talking about 10, 15, 20, 30 years. The long end of the mortgage rate or the rate market, so the long end. So when the Fed set it at zero, or it's zero to 0.25, when they set it there, it has an effect on mortgage rates, but mortgage rates don't just automatically, you know, go way down and stay down because the Fed set the federal fund rate. In fact, I have some statistics here. Back in 2012, the federal fund rate was at 0.25, zero to 0.25, just like we are today, no different. And rates during that time, several times jumped. One time it jumped from 4 to 5.125, and another time it went from 3.5 to 4.75. This is all while the Federal Reserve had the federal fund rate at 0 to 0.25. So it's not an exact, just like Ian was saying, it's not an exact comparison, or they don't follow each other exactly. They don't mirror each other. So when you hear that, when you hear the Fed set the rate at zero, or now we're hearing they're going to keep it at zero through 2022, maybe even into 2023, that does not mean mortgage rates are going to continue to go down. In fact, we've had mortgage rates increase, creep up a little bit over the last couple of weeks, actually the last 3 weeks. And the reason is because there's a lot of things that move mortgage rates. The federal fund rate is just a piece of it. So what's happened is inflation, which I've talked about before, when inflation shows up and it's starting to show up, and there's a great fear with the money that the feds are putting out, at, you know, to $1.2 trillion for COVID
and everything else they wanted to toss in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Who knows what it's all going to be? It's the bailouts. $1.2 trillion. None of us can probably really comprehend that number. And they're even talking about raising that to $6 trillion. And then they're talking about, and this may happen. They have to do a bailout of Texas and those areas that were frozen that are not used to it and have all the problems. So you've got all this money going out. It tends to create inflation, and inflation is, as we said, the enemy of bonds, and mortgages are traded on the mortgage-backed security bond market. They're a bond. If inflation shows up, it kicks the interest rates up. And right now there's a fear of inflation, and that's why mortgage rates, even though the federal fund rate is not going up, it's staying exactly where it's at. It has not moved in months, probably almost a year now. It has not moved, and they're saying they're not going to move it. The feds have come out and said it's going to take a long time to get the economy back. The unemployment rates, even though they've dropped a little bit, those people have fallen off normal unemployment, have moved on to the COVID.
Yeah, so that's just a false number to... They're just moving numbers.
But they can report it,
yeah,
as this big deal. But that is something that we have to watch. So bottom line is, if you're looking at buying a home, if you're looking at refinancing, rates are still incredibly low, and it's still a very good time. But as we look at this outlook, we believe that rates are probably, you know, right now they've gone up. Through the rest of the year, we think they're going to stay pretty steady. They could even decline. And one of the reasons we think they could decline, because what normally happens is debt increases, interest rates decline. And the reason they do is because when debt increases, the economy slows down. It originally, as you increase the debt, the economy picks up because people have this money that they borrowed and they're now able to spend it, so the economy picks up. But as that gets in, once that's in the economy, they don't have the money anymore, and they now have debt payments, and now it really actually hurts the economy in the long run, and then rates tend to come down. And after the break, we're going to talk more about how, as debt increases, interest rates decline.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
I told you I love that guy's voice, but I wish he could pronounce my name correctly. I've had it worse, though, let me tell you. The worst way I've had anybody pronounce my name is they've made the R's W, so it's Wick Whitma. So that's the worst one that I've ever had, in my opinion. So Elmer Fudd had to be the one.
I think I'm going
to
change your voicemails to that.
No, I don't think so. Listen, I can change yours, too. So I don't think we'll be changing that. The voice you're hearing is Ian Arnold. Ian works with me at Advisors Mortgage Group. If you have, you know, you want to talk to either one of us, our main office number is 317-672-1938. That's 317-672-1938. 317-672-1938. Just give us a call, or you can go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com, and all the phone numbers are there also. You can email, call, if you want to talk to Ian and you're emailing, just let me know that's who you want to talk to, and I'll make sure he follows back up. But let's get back on to, as debt increases, interest rates decline. And one of the, I'm looking at some graphs, and it's very obvious, you know, in the U.S., as the debt in, you know, the debt increases, like back in 2000 and between 2015, 2016, the debt increased in the U.S. It went up 131%, and rates then dropped. This is back in '80s, and you can see the chart from '80s, you know, 2018, maybe somewhere in that range. The debt went way up, and the interest rates dropped from in the '80s at over 12% to under 3%, you know, recently. So that's what happens when debt increases. So as that debt increases, we're going to see rates go down. If you look at it over, not just in the U.S., but you look at France, you look at Italy, you look at the UK, you look at Japan, the charts are all the same. They're different, but they're all the same. It's what happens. So we've got to watch those. You know, the debt makes a difference. At first, though, as we talk, the very first thing that happens when you increase debt is people go, let's say they increase debt on a credit card. So they have a credit card. They go buy a refrigerator. Now that refrigerator that there is sold, everybody who made the refrigerator now has money. The seller has money. They go buy stuff, and all of a sudden your economy gets going. But that person who bought the refrigerator now has a payment. And so now they don't have as much disposable income, so they can't go buy more stuff. And because of that, that slows everything down. As the economy slows down, we get better interest rates. And it's hard right now because our interest rates are so low that it's really hard to think how much lower they could. I mean, even though they've come up a little bit, we know what they were, but we're still at such low levels, it's hard for me to comprehend sometimes, even though I deal with it every day.
Yeah, but you got to think. I mean, just like our last episode, rates have changed every decade. I mean, so where you go, like two decades ago, it was 8%. You were like, yes, it's 8%. Now, if I were to tell somebody that today, they'd look at you and laugh. I mean, it's just... So to say that it can never go lower is, it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, when you get down to closer to zero, it's kind of hard to say it's not, it can go even lower, but it's tougher. But I mean, the interest rates could possibly still go lower.
They could possibly go lower. I remember this kind of relates to this. I remember a friend of ours, he was a huge IU fan, and he was convinced at this time that IU was going to win the Big Ten tournament. And so I bet him that they wouldn't win it. So I got the other, how many teams are in the Big Ten? You'd think not 10, but there's not. There's more than that. And I'm not a huge fan, so basketball fan. So
I think at that time there's 12 or 13.
Okay. So there were 13 teams. He took one. I got the other 12.
Yeah, you're playing the field.
I didn't care who he had picked. I'd have said, I'll take him.
Yep.
It didn't matter because the chances are I'd probably win. And I did. And he never made that bet again. He won't do that. So it is, and it's the same way here. I would relate it to mortgage rates. Could they go down? Absolutely. And if you have a rate that's lower than today's rates, obviously it doesn't make any sense to refinance unless you have debt. You know, you have some debt that you want to pay off. Sometimes it can actually make sense to increase your interest rate to pay off debt because you look at the total overall rate that you're paying or cash flow. There's a lot of reasons for it, how that will work for you. But it does. You have to be careful when you're doing that. And we just want to make sure, like we've said in the past, you know, if you have questions, let's walk through it. That's the key. Get a hold of us. Let's walk through the situation. And we can help maneuver it and see what's going to be best. Sometimes keeping what you have is going to be best.
That's the one thing Rick and I will tell you is if it doesn't look like it's reasonable, we'll tell you, nah, just stay the way you are.
Yeah. First of all, there's cost to refinance and there's effort. So there's time involved. And you have to make sure that you get a return on those investments. So we want to make sure they get the return on the investment, and it's adequate to get it back. Right now, you know, a lot of people can get a return on their investment, and they definitely should call, especially if you have debt you'd like to pay off. That can make a huge, huge difference. So if you have any questions, you want to talk about it, you know, give us a call. Ian's number, my number also, it's the main office number, is 317-672-1938. Again, 317-672-1938.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, Pat asked me, you know, with the housing market on fire, he was thinking that he's been looking at a house and he's been having trouble getting a house, getting it bought. And he's in a fortunate position that he can pay cash for a house. But he doesn't want his money out forever, especially with rates where they are and how well you can invest today. So his question, he was thinking of paying cash and then refinancing after close. And he wanted to know, can he do that? Ian,
yeah, you actually can. I actually just had a client do that last month. I mean, it's actually very smart because, one, if you're offering to buy a house and somebody's more willing to say, oh, it's cash? Oh, let's just take that one right now. I mean, it's just quicker, easier for everybody involved. And then, yeah, just refinance, pull out what you want. If you want to have just extra equity or if you just want to do stuff to the house, you can easily do that.
Yeah, that is 100% correct. And the key there, there's some keys in doing it. So you'd want to definitely talk to us before you do it, which is why I was glad Pat called me first, because there are certain requirements around how you can do it and how we can count the money. You know, we have to be able to count the money in order to do it. So in other words, all the money has to come from the buyer. And the person, the borrower who's refinancing, we have to prove that money came from there. So we have to, you can't borrow the down payment or you can't borrow any of the money from somebody else to close on it or it changes what can be done. So it's really important that you talk to us about it because of the rules. And it's one of the biggest things that I run into with these type of things is that people do it on their own without talking to us, and they don't understand the rules, so they do something that makes us have to wait 6 months or a year to refinance them because when they wanted their money out.
Yeah, that doesn't even just go for just if you're paying cash for the whole house. That's even down payment. Just wait to move any funds until you talk to us.
Right, any funds. And if you're paying cash for a house, talk to us first so we can talk about how you do that and how that's going to work. Now, why does a buyer or a seller prefer a cash offer? Because in reality, there are ways let's say you can't pay cash. So how would you go about beating a cash offer? And the reason that a seller would like a cash offer is it takes away some of the contingencies. When you're going to finance, even if you have a pre-approval, you're going to finance, there's a risk that your loan won't be approved. And if your loan's not approved, you won't close on the house. So there are risks to the seller that you can't close. A cash buyer, they don't have the risk of the loan being turned down. Sometimes as a cash buyer, that cash buyer may not even require an appraisal. They may not care. So that eliminates another possible contingency. They may, which I would never recommend, they may not require an inspection. I would never buy a house without an inspection. I've had way too many people who have told me this house is pristine. It's the inspection's going to be no issue whatsoever, and the house falls out because of the inspection.
That sounds like a used car salesperson too.
Well, no, you know what it is? You can't see behind the walls.
Correct.
You know, I don't know, maybe some people would, but I'm not crawling in the crawl space. I'm not probably going to crawl in the attic.
Hey, but here's my whole thing is I'm not an expert on this. I'd rather somebody come in, look at the house and go, hey, this, and this. You might want to keep an eye out for that. I mean, I'm not an expert. He is. Let's have him look at it because he might see stuff a lot more than I never see it.
Right. And it's worth the cost of it for sure.
Easily.
You know, the only time it's most worth the cost and yet probably the most disappointing to you when you have an inspection done is when the inspection comes back poorly. It was great that you had it done, but now you aren't going to get the house and you spent the money on something you aren't going to end up buying. But
Saves you in the long run.
And many times you can get some of that, the things done, the seller will go ahead and fix them because there are problems that need to be taken care of. So a lot of times it can be a very, very beneficial. So anyway, so how do you beat a cash offer? The only way you can really beat a cash offer, or one of the ways, there may be others, but one of the ways that I've seen it work is you offer more money. Because ultimately, the seller is getting cash. So if you go to closing with a mortgage, the seller ends up with cash. If you go to the closing as a buyer and you pay cash, the seller ends up with cash. Ultimately, it's the same. It's just the contingencies that it removes. So how much is it worth for them to avoid those contingencies? If you have a very strong pre-approval letter, you've done all the due diligence, your lender's done all the due diligence, you know, we it's a good solid number, and you know that's really the main contingency. So if you have that, your offer should be just as good or darn near as good as a cash offer. It just needs to be communicated because that seller, it's no different. The seller ends up with cash. That's how it works. So I just remember, you know, it back in when I was in the car business, this is many, 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 many years ago, you know, people go, I'm going to pay cash for the car. Well, we actually didn't like that because, you know, there's with financing, there's a little bit more profit, but you knew it was going to sell because they could pay cash for the car. Some people, you know, that's kind of what they're after. But let's get back to what's going on in the market. You know, I've talked about this before, but part of the explosive growth in home sales in the housing market and part of the reason we have a lack of inventory is because, as I've said before, 33 years ago, we've had a big birth rate boom, and on average, the first time home buyers are 33 years old. So that's part of what's driving this. This is why we think that the new housing, or the housing market, not necessarily new, but the housing market is going to stay strong. And we believe it's going to stay strong for the next 4 or 5 years based on those birth rates. Now, the birth rates were high anyway. I mean, they're much higher than they were, you know, through like 1980. They do back off. You know, the birth rates came down a little bit, you know, like in 96, 97, but they're still extremely high, much higher than they were from 65 to 80 to 1980. So we expect this to be a long run for housing. And so it's a very good time to sell your home. Obviously, if you're hitting that age and you want to buy a home, it's a great time to buy a home. Rates are low. The challenge is the market. If finding a house, there's just not much on the market. Now, COVID slowed new construction. So I'm looking at a chart, and it is amazing how fast the new construction stopped, because they stopped building houses. And it dropped from, you know, I should wear glasses sometimes, but it dropped from like 1.6 million to about 900,000 in a matter of a month or two. And then it jumped back up. But those houses will never be replaced. Those houses went out of the market. It's part of what caused our issue. And it's put the new construction way behind. And as we've talked, the cost of construction, Ian, it's gone
up. I mean, lumber is ridiculous.
It's skyrocketed. So you really have to, it's expensive. So, you know, buying an existing home can be a real boom if you can find one and get your offer accepted. Another thing the vaccine will, as we get more and more people vaccinated, you're going to see, you know, the economy possibly get more back to normal, and we could see rates go up a little bit, but the purchases are still going to be there. We also have record low inventories on houses, which we've talked about. It's amazing. We're down to like one less than a million homes on the market in the U.S. or something like that. It's like a month and a half of inventory. There's just not much left. So if you have a house to sell, you put it on there, you're going to sell. It's going to sell quick. It's going to sell for top dollar. If you're out buying, houses are going up in price. So it's like, you know, it's a good time to buy. It's not like 2012 where we had, you know, no equity, houses were going down in value. That's not happening. It's nothing like that. It's booming. This is a great time to buy a home. Ian, thanks so much for joining me. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, is the best, what is the best number? I probably should ask you.
Either my cell or the office number.
Okay. The office number is 317-672-1938. What's your cell?
It's 317-506-8952.
Perfect. And thanks so much for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure.
And you can get, your best way to get me is to go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Fill out the information. You can look through my site and then, you know, give me a call, send me an email, text me, and we can see how we can help. Next week, Saturday at 3:30 here on Freedom 95. And we're going to talk about one of the coolest products out there for either buying or a home that you own, and it's a renovation loan. Have a great weekend.